This episode is brought to you by Rocky Mountain PBS and 104.7 The Drop. Because The Drop aims to inspire people towards deeper, more meaningful connections with their community through the celebration of urban alternative music, arts, and culture. They're all about creating a unique sound that's locally rooted with global reach. From the morning mix block to new music discovery or to hear your favorite current or throwback hip-hop and urban alternative, 104.7 The Drop has something for everyone. You can listen online or via the Drop 303 app anytime, anywhere. Or if you're in the Denver area, you can catch 104.7 The Drop on air. Today on CityCast Denver. All year, the city of Denver has been working to get more guns off the streets. Most recently, they banned concealed carry in all public buildings and parks, which prompted what I thought were pretty reasonable fears of racial profiling.
Yeah, it's the Second Amendment for a reason, right? The Second Amendment doesn't guarantee your safety. It guarantees you have the ability to defend yourself if you're being attacked.
After I spoke with NRA licensed gun instructor Anubis Harrow a few weeks ago, we got a bunch of angry emails and tweets from gun safety advocates. And then the next day, an 18-year-old armed with an assault rifle walked into an elementary school in Texas. I still think Anubis's point of view on this issue is totally valid, but it's obvious there's more to the issue of guns in our communities. And I still have a lot more to learn.
I had no aspirations to become politically involved. I mean, I worked with my union. I had contributed money. I had, you know, made sure we voted and all of that kind of stuff. But when Alex was murdered, things, you know, changed.
Tom Sullivan's son Alex was killed in the Aurora Theater shooting 10 years ago, and he channeled his grief and anger into a political campaign. Sullivan became a leader on the issue of gun violence at the Capitol, and he's running for state senate this year. So I invited him on the show to help me understand this issue better. Today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver. Representative Tom Sullivan, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Well, thank you for having me.
Representative Sullivan, you've been a leader on this question of guns for the last decade since you entered politics. And I just wonder if your perspective on gun violence has changed at all over that time.
I don't think so. I think some of the things that I see and, you know, I'm concerned about, I'm concerned on a daily basis. I don't get alarmed by the bright, shiny things that happen every once in a while, like a mass shooting at a elementary school or in a supermarket or something like that. I know from the amount of time for the, you know, 9, 10 plus years that I've been in this, that those instances account for less than 2% of the gun violence deaths that happen in the United States of America. What I am concerned about, what are we doing about the other 98% that happen? The whole business about assault weapons and, you know, should we or shouldn't we? Again, less than 5% of the firearms, the over 400 million firearms that are in circulation in the United States of America, less than 5% of them are assault style weapons. So everybody wants to have conversations about that, but what are we going to do about the other 95% of firearms that are out there?
That's so interesting. I didn't know that percentage because that is the thing I hear the most. We need to ban assault weapons.
Well, but that's because you hear it following a mass shooting and there's, you know, 24/7 coverage. They're standing out in front of 12 or 14 or 17 or 22 crosses that teddy bears and balloons and big cards are being put in front of. We don't do that on a daily basis for the shooting that happened down an alley or in someone's front yard or in somebody's garage or, you know, in a car. That's not what you're seeing. But those people are impacted at the same rate with the same amount of grief and trauma that the people who are involved in a mass style shooting.
So as a legislator, what's your approach to that problem then? Because when we see it and talk about it as a culture, it's generally focused on those instances of many deaths at once. But what you're saying is that's not the everyday reality of gun violence. So how do you approach that as a legislator?
To remind them how I am impacted every single day. This doesn't go away. There's you know, the normal, hey, how are you doing today? And my response more times than not is, how do you think, you know, a parent of a murdered child is doing today? I woke up thinking about, you know, the death of my son. I go to bed thinking about the death of my son. And I spend the time in between trying to do something so that that doesn't happen, you know, to others. You know, that is the part. It's my presence and my having the ability to stand in front of them and remind them of it on a daily basis, because what they have seen in the past is just the big story that comes up or the big piece of legislation or, you know, the panel discussion that appears in front of them. And when that, you know, 12 or 15 minute period is over and those people have left, they can turn the page and get to something else. With me being there every day, I'm a stark reminder to them as to what gun violence looks and sounds like.
Well, I want to say that I know it doesn't change your every day, but I'm still sorry about Alex.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that, and I know that's one of the things I talk about. I mean, I just was out canvassing and knocking on doors, and I'm in a different area because of redistricting. And there are people in that district who then recognize me. And this is the first time that they've had in 10 years to say, you know, I am so sorry for the loss of your son. And they've waited 10 years to say that.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit Baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest Fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, Tom, part of the reason I wanted to talk to you is because a few weeks ago, Denver passed this ban on the carrying of concealed weapons in government buildings and parks. And as part of the conversation around that legislation, I talked to a gun safety expert who spoke against the ban. And I would love to know what you think as a legislator, how something like a concealed carry ban works or is effective at a city level.
Well, I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, there's law enforcement in and around, you know, public buildings. There are, you know, in the state capitol, there are people in any of the, you know, city and county buildings. There are, you know, law enforcement in there. But, you know, the average citizen who, you know, who wants to, you know, portray themselves as the good guy in case something should happen. Well, you know, I think they should check their firearm at the door and let them know, hey, we've got this. We've got professionals in here who will take care of this should anything happen. We appreciate, you know, you, but, you know, check it here at the door. I mean, otherwise, you know, they have different training, or if they have any training at all, then law enforcement does. So if a situation were to happen, now we have conflicting people, you know, handling a situation differently. And they tell us that's bad. You know, they end up shooting the wrong people.
So sort of speaking of that, like, professional detail, somebody who might be trained in that way, my past guest, Anubis Haru, that opposed the concealed carry ban, is one of those trained professionals. And he feels actually that police don't protect his community in particular. He's a Black man, and he doesn't feel like that's who the police, you know, the police aren't necessarily there to protect him. So I guess I would wonder what you would say to someone like Anubis, who's concerned with racial profiling in this context of gun ownership.
Well, I didn't hear the conversation. Our Black and brown community have not been, you know, protected. And, you know, they know that, you know, certainly, and can speak to it better than I can. The approach I have always gone by is, if I didn't think that the people who were in charge were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and I thought I could do it better, then I would run for the position to take it over. Because standing on the outside and complaining about it, you know, doesn't make things better. I mean, that's not discounting, you know, how he's been impacted, you know, as a Black or brown man, and minorities have been impacted. No, I'm not. I mean, that's a whole different thing. And I'm sure you guys, you know, spoke at that. And I am very interested in making sure that he has the same right. I know that, you know, he doesn't have the same rights that I do as a, you know, as a white male. I know that. And I am constantly working to make sure that he does get those same rights. But the whole part about saying, well, you know, they're not doing their job. Okay, well, then replace them, then replace them.
Speaking of more on the legislative side, or these things that we are trying to do to make an impact on guns in our community, is there's gun buyback programs. There's been a ban of ghost guns in Denver and Boulder. How do you think those things work in this bigger conversation about stopping gun violence?
Well, I think the municipalities, the cities, you know, that's where it starts, and it works its way, you know, up. So, you know, good on them.
I hear that. But at the same time, you know, like, we're looking at more horrific mass shootings. Like, it's not working its way up the way we need it to. So I'm just wondering what your plan is if you're elected to state Senate. Like, what are you going to do to keep chipping away at this problem?
Well, we've got to get it to be a part of the regular discussion down at the state capitol. That doesn't happen. You know, since Columbine, Colorado has been a crisis legislator. Mm. In between, there is no conversation. We spend every year down there talking about education. We talk about taxes. We talk about Tabor. We talk about infrastructure. We talk about transportation, oil and gas. We talk about civil rights. We talk about that stuff every single year. But over 40,000 Americans die by gun violence. Another 200,000 are injured by gun violence every single year. And we can't have a conversation on a regular basis pertaining to what we can do about the problem. And last year, I tried to bring up, you know, raising the minimum age on the purchase of assault rifles from 18 to 21. Their heads blew off with them thinking that we were going to have to take a vote on something like that. When we tried to talk to the governor's office about it, we were told that should it come to his desk, he would veto that bill. So it didn't get brought forward. And what happened as soon as session was over? An 18-year-old just went out and bought himself, you know, an assault rifle, went into a minority supermarket in Buffalo and murdered 10 people. And then in Texas, an 18-year-old went out on his birthday, bought two assault rifles, went into a school and murdered 19 children and two educators.
So you're saying that between these awful, you know, mass shootings, we should be able to talk about what we can do in the everyday right now to stop these things And it sounds like legislators don't necessarily want to even have a conversation.
Well, exactly. I mean, and that's it. I mean, okay, if it doesn't pass, but at least that gives the community who has been out there and has been impacted by it the opportunity to come down and have their voices be heard, have their stories be told. I mean, after the shootings in the parking lot of Hinckley High School, not a peep was said. After the kids were shot outside of Aurora Central High School while they were on their lunch break, not a peep was said. When the tattoo community was shattered by some you know nut who was out to get them and it went across three municipalities, not a peep was said on the House floor about it.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think your colleagues in legislature don't want to talk about it?
It's a difficult conversation. I mean, certainly on the Democratic side, it is not a number one make or break position for a Democratic voter. Democratic voters care about civil rights and climate change and, you know, the economy, and they care about workers' rights and all of that. Those are all of those great things. But given their druthers, if you have somebody and he or she is 4 out of 5 of those issues, you're okay with that individual and you will vote for that individual. Whereas there is a percentage on the Republican side that says if you think that there is a pathway to banning high capacity magazines or making people lock their guns up when they've got a 3-year-old in the house and stuff, and you vote that way, they will come after you with finances and another candidate who is to the right of you. And they will work to get you out of office. Whereas we don't do that on the Democratic side.
Well, Tom, I know you're running for office here, and I'm thinking about someone maybe who's hearing about you for the first time. What would you like voters to know?
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm going to stand up to this. I'm going to be a reminder. That's what they need. You know, regular people. And that's why I started running for office, and that's what I'm going to do.
Representative Tom Sullivan, thank you so much for joining me.
Sure, you bet.
After my conversations with Anubis Haru and Tom Sullivan, I honestly still don't know how to feel about this issue or what to do. Except I want to take the representative's words to heart, and I want to keep talking about this. So if you have something you think I should know about gun violence or gun policy in Denver, or if gun violence has affected your life here, please call in and leave us a voicemail, or you can text us at 720-500-5418. And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Weed. We're talking about weed. But seriously, cannabis workers for Green Dragon Dispensary's grow house have successfully voted to unionize. Denverite reports that employees experienced health issues related to conditions inside the grow, related to mold and poor ventilation. Inadequate pay and a lack of respect for management are also issues the union hopes to bring to the bargaining table. And in more weed news, local dispensary chain Buddy Boy Brands is closing its doors on all 7 locations, citing declining cannabis sales. Owner John Fritzell told Westward that his chain's closure is just the tip of the iceberg as the industry grapples with an oversaturated market and competition from legalization in neighboring states. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter, where today I wrote a story update on fashionation and our teen drag scene. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you later. I'm going to do that all over again. My breathing was weird.